honest reflection. I believe that the Lord is just is opening up our hearts this morning, and He will continue next week, also in our worship service. And that we as a church, that we can just come and we can just do an honest reflection of where we are, of what's going on in our lives, what has been happening, what are we trusting God for, all of those things. And over this week, I was just thinking back about that day when I was standing on a sand dune and decided to follow Jesus with all my heart. I still remember it was on a camp, and we were there, and in those times you can still make fires on the beach. There was a huge fire. It was great. And I looked at the cross, and it was the first time where I just got so aware of what God has done for me. And that just overwhelmed me completely. And I said, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to follow You with all of my heart. And it was the first time that night when I went and stood before people and I shared with them, this is what God has done for me. The first time when we got in church, I stood up before people and I told everyone there, I decided to follow Jesus with all of my heart. This is what happened. And it was just so amazing. And I was just thinking back about those days. I still remember how I trusted God and decided where first I was just all over the place and confused and so many things in my mind and what was I going to do and what I'm going to study. And there was so much. And I just prayed and slowly things just start falling in place. And with that, I remember in Stellenbosch where I got so desperate just to see something of God in my life. Where I told you guys, where I stood on the mountain and just shouted, Lord, God, rock my life over Stellenbosch. And how quickly things just start to change. And then we, in our Foundation 3, at the time I was still at all these things that I was just hiding. I was following the Lord and I kept sin in my life. I kept so many things. I was just hiding it. On Friday, we tried to have Friday, every Friday, a family evening. And we had some questions that we asked each one in the family. So Lucy got this question. Lucy, so what is one of your hidden talents? So I said, I don't know. Nothing about me is hidden. And I thought, that is beautiful. And she just said it like this. Nothing about me is hidden. I remember that foundation. There were so many stuff that was hidden, that were hidden. Man, I was sitting there, and I carried all this weight of the stuff. It was pulling me down. And I had my mountain bike in the car, and I was ready to go to my friend Dirk. He was still a carpenter. Today he's financial manager. And we were in a circle, and I just decided, man, I'm just going to share. I'm just going to tell it all. I can't go on. I can't live this life anymore. So I just started, and I just said a lot of stuff. And I didn't care who's there and what they're going to say. I just realized I need to I can't live like this. Even though I'm following Jesus and there's all these amazing things happening. There's so many things that I was just hiding. And I came clean, and it felt like the weight. I can't describe it. I still remember driving in the car, because just after that I went to Montiki, to Dirk, and I just drove in the car. It felt like a new day, a new year, a new life, a new everything. And everything was just different. And I was just thanking God for allowing this, that it happened. And I was just, but this is just an honest reflection. I believe each one of us, we must come to an honest reflection. We must come to a place and a time where we can just sit and we just say, this is what's happening in my life. This is what's happening in my life right now. This is the stuff that I'm going through. These are my battles. But it's not easy. And I'm not saying that, I don't even think that, to we're all going to do it at the same time. But I'm putting it out there, and I said, God wanna do something. There's a power in it when we do it. There's a freedom that comes. There's a release that comes for the power of God just to step in and to do something. And it doesn't have to be you coming to me or whatever. I just say when we do that, God steps in and He does something amazing. And we started talking about our vision and knowing God and being a community that represents Christ, that grows together, all of those things. And I realized this is a collective thing. This is us, that this is our vision. I think I ended off with this at the Vision Sunday. But this is all of us growing together. This is all of us having a desire to know God, to know Him better. But not all of us are going to get it right. And you guys know every year at the beginning of the year we have New Year's resolutions. Okay? So I don't know how many of you can still remember your New Year's resolution for 2017. They reckon that only 6% of New Year's resolutions remain. They also say, if you look at the stats and all the surveys and everything, they will say that it takes an average person, probably like me and you, average person about 5 or 6 times you must make the same New Year's resolution until it's going to stick, until something is going to remain. That's just, and then they will, they say only 8% of people achieve their New Year's resolutions. That's not so many. That doesn't look so good. Maybe you're still holding on to your New Year's resolutions. And I say, the reason why it is so difficult is it takes a lot of motivation and commitment. It takes a lot of motivation and commitment to change anything. To change anything in our lives. And sometimes we just make all these resolutions, like usually it's, let's say the three, there are a few common ones. Get fit, healthy, lose weight, eat right. Those common ones. And that is the stuff that is just general. And they say, but what we do, we have all these resolutions and we have all of them at the same time. So we don't realize the amount of work and effort it's going to take to change all 5 of all 6 of it at the same time. Because we still want to go on with our lives, we still want to do the same things, but we want these things to change and just to get better. And the big thing is our motivation. And I realize that even with us thinking about knowing God, growing together, we need to look at our motivation. Why do we want to do it? Why do you want to do it? And more than that, motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. I think it's on there as well. Habit is what keeps you going. These are according to the surveys and the stats and everything. But I know it's true for me as well. So these days, there are a few things that I want to do. So I realized that I can't just add all this stuff to my life. Something's got to give. So now I'm evaluating. Now I'm just evaluating what I'm doing. And it's very practical. And I realize that, so what is my motivation for change? What is my motivation to build the stuff into my life? And how is it going to go on? Somehow there must be a habit. I know we're all different and we all do things in a different way. Some of us are much more disciplined than others. But even with all of that and the different temperaments and everything, the stuff that we do, there are still habits in our lives. If you want to know it or not, we've built habits into our lives, or just habits to start it up. Maybe there are just things that you read, Facebook, every day, someday, somewhere during the day. It's still a habit. We've managed to build it in. It's maybe not every morning at 6 o'clock, but it's every day. So it's easy for us to get to a place where I don't have any habits or I don't have any bad habits. But if we really take an honest reflection, if we really look at our lives, what we do, how we're doing it, we can quickly realize a few things that's important, a few things that we give attention to on a daily basis. And we can see that there are some habits built into our lives. And there are probably some motivations for these things. Pastor Ross, he did a devotional at the end of last year, beginning of this year, and he just wrote about trees, and the tree trunk tells the story. And he looked at the growth rings. I put up some of there. And all these marks reflect stages of the tree, what the tree was going through. Some stages there was a lot of water, so the growth ring will be thicker. Sometimes it was dry, a dry season, it will be thin. Sometimes there's just sickness that comes, so the tree must prevail through it all. Sometimes animals come and damage the tree, so it will leave a mark, it will leave a spot. Sometimes it's just fire that went through the forest. And the tree managed to recover, but somewhere you can see there's a black mark on this tree. And what he wrote about is, he's like the trees. He said if he looks at his own life, he realized that the seasons and the times and everything he went through, it's leaving marks on his own life. It's leaving marks on his character. It's leaving marks on who he has become. And I realized that is very true. That is very true. Because in a way, our character are being built. It's definitely our character are being affected about how we responded to these challenges. How did we respond to the season? How did we respond to what we were going through? And sometimes it's changing something in our hearts. The Bible says that we must guard our heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. And I realize as we grow together and as we are a community, that we need to help one another. That we need to help one another also to guard our hearts. But sometimes we will also pick up things that's not so good. Things that we, if we look at where we are now and where we've been last year, some things have changed. Some things are different. So either we're going to get I can only now think of a wake-up call or a big fright or something. Or someone is going to walk in, someone is just close enough to tell you, this is what I see now. You're just more cynical. Not so, where's that joy? Where's the laughter? You used to do this. You're not doing it anymore. Something changed. And this is part of the honest reflection. This is where each one of us, I pray that we can do an honest reflection of what is going on in our lives. And it's not supposed to be that we now feel bad and negative. And there's always bad things. There's always stuff that's not right. Let me put it that way. The glass is half full or half empty. I realize that we need to just stop here and just take a moment this morning to reflect. Because there's something beautiful that God is doing in each one of us. He's busy in each one of us. And I don't want us to just to fade into something that we didn't see coming. Or where there's real power in our community. There's real power in us coming together and helping one another. And different things are affecting us. Pastor Ross, he wrote, he said he recognized a mounting degree of cynicism due to frequent disappointment by certain people. coupled by latent anger and even a bitterness in his heart. He noticed a resistance to spontaneous generosity because of perceived entitlement and misspending of some with whom I have supported. He said, I note the signs of compassion fatigue because of seasons of overextending myself. Sadly, I'm aware that I laugh and I play less because of the impact of serious things that I deal with. These responses are not good for my soul, my family, and my relationships. And he was just looking at his year. He also said, I've grown grateful and humble, more relational, accountable. Yet I have to acknowledge that I've grown more cynical. He said, my growth through the last season was both good and bad. Some ways I've grown to resemble Christ my Lord better. In some ways I've grown to represent him less. And it's our own responses to these experiences that ultimately impact us, but also impact the people around us. It's not only impacting us. It also impacts people around us. And this morning, I pray that maybe we need to revisit a few things. Maybe there are things that we just blocked out, and so I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. Maybe there are things that we just need to revisit and say, Lord, that has done something in my heart. I don't have faith for certain situations anymore. I almost expect this and this to fail. But also we can go back and look at one another and say, wow, I see that you've grown so much in this area. The way you trust God now versus a year ago, it's beautiful. I can see something God has done, something in your life. And what he's doing is amazing. So it goes both ways. In both of it, it's affecting people around us and it's affecting us. John the Baptist, we spoke a bit about him at Bible study, going through Mark. And I actually just want to, at the end of his season, he was this voice in the wilderness. He was the man proclaiming Jesus is going to come. People spoke amazing things about him. And later on in John, an argument developed between John's disciples and a certain Jew over a few things, and they came to John and said, there's someone else baptizing on the other side of the river. There's all this stuff happening. It's in John 3. The one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him. And John 3, it's 29 to 30, it just says, therefore this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's so beautiful how he just realized that he's there to prepare the way for Jesus. And Jesus can increase and he can decrease. He was just aware of something in his life that is, it speaks to me of a maturity, of something that he realized, of purpose, things that was clear for him. It revealed the heart that made him so great. I just want to say something about Facebook. You all know Facebook. In 2013, they say 63% of people check Facebook daily. In 2014, it was 70% of all people on Facebook. So they say if you check it daily, you join over 864 million users with the same compulsive routine. And it's a kind of an addiction, a default habit that is rewiring our brains. So that's just that's like any addiction. Maybe you don't know that, but that is to do with our reward system. The things that God has built into our lives. We see something beautiful, there's stuff that's happening, or sometimes we're just tired and you watch that movie, or you're rewarding yourself with certain things. So can't remember the exact, but it's changing our brains. And that we all know that about any addictions. So there are some guys that do research. It's obviously still young. Facebook, it's not been around for many, many years. But they say, according to researchers, Ofer Tarrell, the psychologist, he said, Facebook addicts driving a car are more likely to respond faster to a push notification on their phone than to traffic signs. That's the power of Facebook. And he says, but the thing is, he said, if you're a lot on Facebook, he called them Facebook addicts. It's not the extreme. He said, unlike compulsive drug abusers, you still have the ability to control your behavior, but you don't have the motivation to control the behavior because you don't see the consequences to be that severe. So you still have the ability to do something else. You don't have the motivation because you don't see the consequences to be any severe. And I think there's a lot of that we can take to other things in our lives as well. Sometimes we're just doing stuff. And we sort of think, man, it's probably not so good. Maybe I must change it some other time. Maybe next week. But there's no motivation. But with the motivation, there's also not a, you don't think there's a consequence. You don't think the consequence is going to be any bad. And we can just go on. And this is part of, for me, of an honest reflection of what we're doing. There's a few, John Piper, he said, for creatures like us, created to adore glory, we must find an object worthy of our worship. The cure for boredom is not diversion or distraction, but some substantive enthrallment. We must encounter God to be intellectually and emotionally staggered by the infinite, everlasting, and unchanging supremacy of Christ in all things. He says there's a kind of a boredom where we're not doing much or we're just sitting around. And then there's a quick satisfaction of just checking something on Facebook or something else. There's different things. How we fill, you call it now a boredom, or this time or something. And he said, because we're doing this all the time, we're actually missing something that God wants to fill in our lives. There's a place where God wants to come and he wants to thrill us again. He wants to fill that space. I know, I think we're all there, where sometimes, this is what I want, or what I try to get to. When I'm tired and everything, you feel like that movie, that I want to go to the Word and it lifts me up. But this is a personal thing that I'm thinking about, and now that I did the sermon, I think, okay, so I must look at my motivation, I must just look at it a bit more instead of just saying these things. But I believe there's a lot of things that we build, if we're really honest, stuff that we just build in. And God want to come and he want to come with his beauty and something amazing. And he want to amaze us. He want to touch us in those moments. But sometimes those moments are going to be moments that is really quiet, where we're just going to be still, where we can disconnect, where there's solitude, where we meditate. And not all of us like silence. You try to fill it with a lot of stuff. But this is what John Piper, this is just one of the things that he referenced. Those silent moments, those solitude. Just allow God to come in and to do something amazing. Casting Crowns, they sing this song, It's a Slow Fade. I just put a small piece of it. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, the price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. Every time I hear this, it touched me so much because I realized that sometimes we see or we are aware of certain things, or we're not moving forward. We're just staying where we are. We're moving backwards a little bit. But things don't just go wrong in a moment. It's been coming. It's been coming for a while. And this is what the song is all about. People never crumble in a day. Daddies don't crumble in a day. There's a place where we can really help one another. and be there for one another. And but it's not just nice, it's really important that we can just be honest, but also us reflecting. I think some of it is just we will have to take an honest reflection of our life and then tell a few people that we trust about and say, stand with me, trust, stand with me, help me, pray with me. Because I'm not moving forward. I'm crumbling. I'm slowly crumbling. When we did our survey, for those of you that did it, there's a lot of the things that came out in that question. If we, our church, can do one thing this year to help you to grow further in your faith, what would that be? It's some of the things. I need people asking direct questions of how things are really going. Need accountability, each other to live Christ-like, discuss practical implications of this, keep me accountable for what the Lord has put in our hearts, more input from older people who have walked the road, discipleship groups, pray with me, keep me accountable for the plans the Lord is giving me, creating space to be in God's presence. His presence makes me grow. Then more accountability, encourage each other to get alone with God, grow in intimacy, Bible school. So a lot of the things that came out was groups, accountability was, you know, it was all over, Bible school, getting space to be in God's presence, so there's something beautiful happens. These are the things that we write down, these are the things that we say that's important, but accountability is not always nice. I'm just putting it out there. That's not always nice. Man, I can just, if I must do an honest reflection, I must tell you guys the things that people told me in my walk, well, up to now, where I am, and from different areas. And then I'm not even talking about people knowing God and friends, and they just look at me and say, boom, 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 just shooting out of the heap. Some of the stuff was not nice, but it changed my life. It changed. There's still some things that I'm now just thinking through, and I actually say, okay, yeah, some of that was, I'm not doing so great in that area. And I thought this and this and this, and somehow I thought, yes, it's going all right. And someone said, no, man, boom, boom. The other question that we had when being part of a small group, which is the one thing that you would like to see or experience to make the group purposeful for you? It was, again, conversations about the Bible, being challenged, honestly asked questions, praying for one another, real relationships, for people to be real, more real, human, heartfelt interactions, going beyond the surface, prayer and accountability, making God and His presence the focus of the group. People being open and honest, accountability, sincerely seek after God's heart for our small group. All of this speaks about accountability, speaking to each other's lives, a lot of things. So just quickly, I just want to say that when we're growing in Christ and doing all these things and coming to church and doing the right stuff, it's important to see where's our focus. What is our focus in doing it? Do we just want to do the right stuff? Or are we really focusing on Jesus? That is the essence. 1 Peter 2 said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by them you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Philippians 3 verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. John 17 verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And it can go on and on and on. And this morning, there's a lot of things that's part of our lives, things that we are doing. I just want to put it out there. Where's your focus? You're still focusing on Jesus? Still focusing on loving God? Or are you just going through the motions? And I realize we've talked a lot about God's place in our life and where's God and What is he telling us? But I just want us to get back to this. And then, even more important than this, the focus is are you still in awe of God? Are you still in awe of him? Do you still see God everywhere around you? Do you still see the beauty of God in the people around you? Do you still see God in nature? Do you still see God at work, at your work? Are you aware of what God is doing? Paul Tripp, he wrote the book Awe. The book's name is Awe. Why Awe Matters for Everything We Think, Say, or Do. He said, I wrote this book for me because I'm aware that I need to spend more time gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. I need to put my heart in a place where it can once again be in awe of the grandeur of God, that it reaches far beyond the bounds of the most expressive words in the human vocabulary. I need awe of him to recapture, refocus, and redirect my heart again and again and again. And then he said, paradise will be paradise because God will be in the middle of it forever, unchallenged. Do you hear that? God will be in the middle of it forever, unchallenged. There's so many things. When I read that, it just struck me. There's so many things that's challenging for our time with God. There's so many things that's coming for our attention, that's coming for our awe, that's coming for our worship, that's coming for who we are, that's coming for our heart. And say, paradise will be paradise because God will be in the middle of it forever, unchallenged. That's beautiful. And even today, if we think, we are all hardwired for eternity. When you see something beautiful, go, wow. Something happens. You recognize the beauty in things. We are made like that. We are made for that beauty to see it. So, Paul Tripp, he also wrote that I think that means that every moment of sadness, disappointment, hurt, or fear is a cry for another better world. But every moment of joy, happiness, and peace is a taste of another world. It's a taste of what's to come. And deep inside of us is a longing for God. Deep inside of us is a longing for God. And this morning, I just pray that each one of us, that we can do that honest reflection. That we can stand still and just say, these are the things that I want to change in my life, but what is your motivation? Why are we saying these things? Did we look at our motivation? Do we want to add stuff but not take anything away? Because then something is going to give. It's not going to work out. But motivation is only the thing that gets us started, but habits are what keeps it going. So we need to help one another to build in these godly habits, the good habits, things that will, fruit will come from it. And then help one another. Be honest with one another. Be teachable. Allow us to talk about things and to work through it, and to help one another on this journey. And also remember that the faith or the nothing crumbles in a day. Families don't crumble in a day. Daddies don't crumble in a day. There's things that are happening, and we can see it coming, and we can walk with God. And then just look at that awe, what grips you, those things. And just try to shift the focus to God. sometimes it's just going to be when I'm talking to God, I tell him exactly as it is. I shout, I cry, sometimes I'm angry, I'm friendly, I'm whatever. I say it as it is. Sometimes I just need to offload in a mountain or under my helmet on my bike where no one can hear me. And I can just hear myself and it's just going. And I just need to offload all the stuff until I feel there's nothing else to say. And then what often happens, then I'm just so, I don't know if it's tired or overwhelmed or whatever, but then I'm just there. It's a quietness that comes, and then sometimes there's this word of God or this thought or something that comes in and it changes everything. And not necessarily what I was praying about, but it's just changing everything. Sometimes for situations, when I pray about things, pray, nothing happens. It's days, it's weeks, it's months. And then suddenly, boom, God just comes and he does something amazing that only God can do. I say, Lord, this is what I desire. This is to see you operating, to see who you are, to see what you do. Those things are amazing. I can't even describe it. Sometimes personal things or stuff in people's lives. But when God steps in and when he does something, it is just, it takes my breath away. It is just, it's incredible. But I think we must just go on. Stay in awe of God, of who he is. Romans 12 verse 1-2. This says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable by God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And there's a lot in there, and I'm not going to unpack it this morning. I'm just reading it, and I just trust that we will just start with the renewal of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Take the word, read it, allow God to do something amazing in your life again. Just to hear his voice, that is amazing. Spend time with him. And let us as a community, where we say knowing God and being a community that grow together and represent Christ, but let's just think about it during the week. Let us say, this is my motivation. Why? This is my motivation to connect with God, to connect with Jesus. And start looking around. Say, Lord, these are the things that you're doing. Next week is Worship Sunday. It's just a time for us to, it's in a special way, just connect with God and worship. Things are happening. But it is, for me, the start is just God deserves our worship. He deserves us coming to him. Let us stand. Someone said that if you are overwhelmed by what is going on in your life, if you are overwhelmed by your circumstances, examine what you are meditating upon. Examine what you are meditating upon. Examine what you are focusing upon. Are you focusing on the circumstances, or are you focusing on God and who God is? And we have an amazing time. God is doing amazing things in our communities, and we have special moments. But maybe grab someone somewhere, say, these are some things that I just want to talk to someone about. If I must have an honest reflection of my life and what is going on, won't you just pray with me about these things? Won't you just pray with me about this? I've noticed that this came into my heart over the last year, the last 6 months. This is what happened, and I'm just doubting. I'm not sure about this. I'm just angry. I'm not sure why. But it's going to mean that some of us, that somewhere, that we must just drop something off the mask. Something of our pretense, and some things that we are hiding. I remember before that Foundation 3, I shared so much, and where God just came and did so much in my life, that I was really good at hiding stuff. I was doing internship, I was in church, I was busy with a lot of stuff, but I was a professional in hiding stuff. I never shared any of this stuff. And there's so many things that I didn't say, and until a day, I just realized that it's getting heavy for me. And Albert Titus, he was still there. He was the facilitator of the group. And I just said, Albert, we need to talk about a few things. And he said, Yaku, it's fine. Just go into the group and just start saying whatever you can. And even after that, sometimes things happened and I didn't like the response. I didn't like what happened. Sometimes I just got confused. I said, Lord, this stuff. And then I just crop it up. And I was professional in hiding stuff. Until somewhere I can't take it anymore, then I'll say it and I'll share it, and God comes in and He does something amazing. Father, I thank You for this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, that we can do an honest reflection of our lives, Lord. Lord, I know You are busy in each one of us. You are changing us. You are knocking on the doors. You are knocking on certain areas of our lives. You are knocking off compartments, things that we closed it off. We don't want to talk about it. We're not even talking to You about it. And I just sense this morning, Lord, that on one side, we are quick to say, this is where we want to go, this is what we want to do, these are the amazing things that we're going to do this year, and it's easy for us to small talk and have fun. But when things get quiet and the noise is gone, and it's us and You, Lord, there are still stuff, Lord, in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to talk about it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to start the process, maybe sharing. Maybe it is not even in us. It's something else that happened or somewhere where that we didn't understand what you were doing, Lord. I pray for this process, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are committed towards us, towards me, towards everyone here. And I pray, Lord, that as you talk so much about community, that we can be a community that really help one another. Where we say, so many of us, we desire accountability and we desire people to ask questions and to be honest with one another. But not all of that is always nice. We pray for sensitivity. We pray for a way in doing these things. We pray for friendships. Pray that for a sense of belonging, of family, for safety. We pray for those safe spaces, Lord, in your presence, where you can just come and do what you want to do. We worship you this morning, God. I'm just going to ask the worship team to do one song for us. And I realized that I didn't start this sermon actually thinking about honest reflection. It was just honest reflection and looking at our motivations, why we're doing things, and focus on Jesus. And I realized that it tends to move into a space where we also need to be looking out for one another and sometimes ask questions, or where we can just come and take the courage and share. This thing is in my life, I don't like it. And I pray that we will have those moments, that you can get together with someone, that you can have moments, life-changing moments. Because in our motivation is Jesus, but also eternity is coming. It's the other thing. It's a lot of people that they're not aware of eternity. They're not aware. They think we've got lots of time. We don't have to do things today. We can just go on next year. Next year is another year. Then I'll think about this and this and this. Now everything is fine. But that's a lie. It's not like that. So I just want to encourage you. I realize it can be a heavy topic, but I just want to encourage us. Let's just be there for one another. Just help one another and create those spaces where we can be really honest with one another. And speak to the Lord. Tell him, I believe some things have stirred during the service. And you just start by responding to God. Ask him for the next step.